I'm going to read one verse of scripture, Romans chapter 1, and then we will go into the lesson. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Scoot up your chair. I want to relate to you a story of a young lady. She was attending a Christian Bible college. She said, I was a preacher's kid, and while attending Bible college, I became pregnant. The father of the child was also a preacher's kid. We both knew the Bible condemned what we were doing, but we did it anyway. We enjoyed the thrill of breaking the rule. I believed I was doing everyone a favor by having an abortion. I reasoned that not only would a pregnancy get me expelled from college, it would also devastate the ministries of both of our families. A few months after the abortion, I broke up with my boyfriend and transferred to a secular new university. And there I found a measure of comfort. The people I lived with were not Christians, and their opinions allowed me to believe that my abortion had been a good solution. I was afraid of being around Christians, thinking that they would certainly condemn me if they discovered what I had done. For years, I hid from God and tried to block the pain of choosing to end my child's life. I eventually met a young man, a Christian man, and we married. And when our first child was born, when I held him in my arms, my conscience stirred, and the magnitude of my decision to abort my first child began to haunt me. How could I have not loved that child? I believed that I could have loved him as much as I loved this one. How could I have condemned him to death? Depression, anger, guilt, and remorse washed over me. Until then, I had held on to the false idea that I had destroyed only a blob of tissue, but my new son's sweet face ended that. I know that I am speaking to many women, or at least some women, who has had an abortion, but I want you to know that there is no sin that God cannot forgive. The problem may be that you don't forgive yourself. And then this young lady goes on to say, I could not forgive myself. I didn't deserve forgiveness. After all, I have taken a small, innocent life, and I found myself in intense grief. And then a coworker told me about the post-abortion ministry at a crisis center nearby. But as good as it felt to be forgiven by God, I still struggled to forgive myself. Then one day, I was led to read the parable of the unforgiven servant in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter. God had forgiven my sin, just like the king who had pardoned the great debt. But when I saw that he expected me to do the same with others, including myself, I had to forgive my old self. I was finally able to let go of the unforgiveness I had towards myself. Yes, there are times when the accuser of the brethren reminds me of my past transgression, she said, but it no longer has the power over me as it once did. And as I behold the face of my Redeemer, I remind myself that I am forgiven. And like he does, I choose to remember my sins no more. This lady had committed what she felt was an unforgiving sin. But I want to tell you, there is only one sin that God will not forgive you for. You may not deserve forgiveness, but that's the way it works with grace. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. The kingdom rules are not like the man's rules. God's ways are above our ways. We don't deserve forgiveness, but he forgives us. I hope this 5 minutes has been an encouragement to you. You can get in touch with me at BibleStrong316@gmail.com or log on to our website at BibleStrong316.org.